College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this podcast, as part of our special Atlantic 10 offseason breakdown, we will be joined by VCU head coach Mike Rhodes. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year, and also send me your Atlantic 10 based related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, we look at the 8-10 right now heading into the 19-20 season. And the million-dollar question surrounding the Atlantic 10 to me is, can the league get back and be more than relevant nationally? Because a lot of people seem to forget. Just 5 years ago in 2014, the Atlantic 10 had six teams in the NCAA tournament, the same number that year represented by the ACC. And then a year prior in 2013, the Atlantic 10 had five. But if you split the atom and you look at the last 2 years in the Atlantic 10 conference, this league had really the benefit of having one team emerge during the Atlantic 10 tournament and getting an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament by winning the league tournament that was not projected to be in the field when championship week started. It happened St. Louis last year. It happened with Davidson in 2018. And you have to ask yourself this question. If Marcus Evans does not get injured for VCU last year in the Atlantic 10 tournament, and the Rams went on to win the Atlantic 10 tournament, how many teams from the Atlantic 10 would have wound up playing in the field of 68? The way I look at it, there's a legitimate possibility and a more than likely possibility that this would have been a one-bid conference, and that's something that you have to look at moving forward as a big concern, not just for the Atlantic 10, but the fact remains this, it's going to be harder and harder for teams outside of power conferences to get at-large bids to the NCAA tournament with more and more power conferences going to 20 league games. But in my opinion, the league is set up from an Atlantic 10 perspective to bounce back big time in 19-20. VCU, to me, a legitimate top 25 team. Davidson, a legitimate top 35 to 40 team. Five starters back for Bob McKillop. Dayton showed major signs last year, advancing to the NIT under Anthony Grant. They've got a bona fide NBA prospect in Obi Toppin. And URI, who again benefited from that Marcus Evans injury last year in the Atlantic 10 tournament and advanced to the semifinals before losing to St. Bonaventure, has a nucleus back with Jeff Doughton, with Fats Russell, with Cyril Langevin to be a factor in the Atlantic 10. But the Atlantic 10 now faces, with everything that we're talking about with power conferences, a non-conference portion of the schedule that's even more critical than it was before. This league has to move the needle in November and December, and one program that's always going to be at the forefront of that for the Atlantic 10 is VCU, and the head coach of the Rams, Mike Rhodes, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. VCU had a breakthrough season last year under Mike Rhodes, dominating the Atlantic 10, getting back to the NCAA tournament. And the aforementioned head coach of the Rams joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Mike, what a difference a year make. How would you describe the feeling around your program right now versus 12 months ago?
Oh, I mean, you know, there's a lot of excitement just because of the season we had and with a lot of guys returning. You know, there's guys are really excited. The fans are really excited. The coaches are excited. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction, John. It's still not exactly where I want it to be, but very, very excited and very happy so far where we're at this summer.
Well, the Atlantic 10 has always been a league that, you know, teams have had great success when they've had impact transfers, and you added an impact transfer last year in Marcus Evans, who played for you at Rice. Aside from adding Marcus Evans, what changed for your team last year maybe versus your first season as head coach at VCU?
Well, you know, my first year, we had 9 new faces in the program, including a new coaching staff. So, you know, there was going to be a major adjustment there. We all knew that. What helped us this year, you know, Marcus was here a year sitting out, and everybody was a year older. And that was the, I think, the biggest difference, John, of anything is just a year of work, a year of experience, a year of being together really helped us move us forward.
Now, you have a long history at VCU. You were the top assistant for many years under Shaka Smart. You were part of the staff that went to the Final Four in 2011. What are the biggest differences when you become the head coach at VCU versus navigating things as the top assistant?
Well, there's so probably the most important thing is sort of delegating and navigating through your day. There's just so many more things on your plate. When you're assistant, you have your duties. And then, you know, you're working on finding new VCU guys, new recruits. As the head coach, there's just so much different things that pile on your desk and come to you each day. And just sort of balancing all that, it's important to hire a great staff that you can delegate to as well. But I think that was the biggest adjustment, even from Rice, as being the head coach, is just a lot more people wanting your time.
Well, people obviously want the head coach at VCU's time. It's been a place where head coaches have flourished, all the way going back to Anthony Grant and Jeff Capel, and obviously Shaka Smart, who I mentioned you worked under when you went to the Final Four a little over 8 years ago. You endured something last season that was uncharted territory when you had to coach against your former boss, a game you won down in Texas. What was it like going through that?
Different. You know, Coach and I talk all the time, so we would talk about who's our next opponent, just different things, motivating tactics and, you know, X's and O's all the time. And then for about 2 weeks before that game, you know, we didn't talk and we're just preparing to play against each other. So it's different. It's uncommon. I hope we never have to do it again unless it's late in the NCAA tournament. But it's just something you got to deal with. I know talking to a lot of other coaches that have gone through it, they all told me it's not fun, but you got to do it and prepare your team. And it's sort of what we did.
VCU head coach Mike Rhodes joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Rams coming off a 25-8 season where they won the Atlantic 10 and advanced to the NCAA tournament. And Mike, a big part of that run was your ability on the defensive end of the floor. Last season, you held opponents to 60 or fewer points 15 times in 33 games played. What allowed your team to be so good defensively?
Well, John, we last summer, we just totally committed to improving on the defensive end. My first year here as head coach at VCU, just it wasn't the par. It wasn't to my standard or our standard. And if you want to win a championship, if you want to win games in the NCAA tournament, you got to be able to stop people. We're going to press and try to create turnovers, but it still comes down to being able to get stops in the half court. And my first year here just wasn't good enough. It wasn't where we needed it to be to have a chance to win the league and have a chance to advance past that. And so we made a huge commitment after my first season here of every day building great defensive habits. And you know what, with the assistant coaches I have and our support staff, and we showed the guys, we measured everything, we rated everything, and the guys really bought into getting better on the defensive end. And we still were going to let them play, but on the defensive end, get stops, get consecutive stops, but take great pride in it, and they did a great job with it.
The name that's been associated with VCU, Mike, is obviously Havoc, and you were a part of that. How would you describe kind of the style that you have kind of implemented right now at VCU compared to some of the coaches that preceded you?
Yeah, you know, we still have Havoc around here because we press and we disrupt, and Our turnover percentage was pretty good. I think it could get a little bit better with now we have a little more experience and deeper as well. But, you know, I just always felt when I was at Randolph Macon and at Rice, no matter what, you have to build your defense on getting stops in the half court. In the last 4 minutes of the game slows down. Coaches want to orchestrate a lot of things, and you got to be able to sit down and guard different types of action. So we're going to have havoc in full court. You know, we pressed every possession, John, last year, but we're just going to take great pride. And if we don't get a trap or a steal in the backcourt, that we can get in a stance for 25 seconds, 30 seconds, and stop people in the half court, even teams that run great stuff in the half court. We're going to pride ourselves in getting through screens and running through passes and getting disruptions on the ball and blocking shots. And our guys did a really good job of carrying that over from the summer and then preseason into the year.
Well, and that was evident, Mike, pretty early in the season. You were very competitive in a road game at Virginia, and your team was very consistent throughout the course of the year. But, you know, it wouldn't be obviously a real season in college basketball if you didn't deal with some sort of adversity, and you faced that in the Atlantic 10 tournament when you lost Marcus Evans to an injury. I know he came back and played as you advanced to the NCAA tournament, but how healthy was Marcus after he went down in Brooklyn?
Not very healthy. I mean, he was probably 50 or 60%. I mean, he had two Achilles tears, John, and recovered throughout the year and really got to 80, 90, maybe close to 100% at the end of the year. And then, you know, if you look at the video of it, he looked like he really tore up his knee, but it was a bone bruise and it was just swollen and a lot of pain. But you know, he pretty much said, "Coach, I'm not going to miss the NCAA tournament." And with the help of our trainer, Dennis Williams, he and Marcus spent the whole week getting ready for that game against UCF. And, you know, he didn't have much. Everybody saw that. But having him out there was great for our player's psyche. And I pretty much, once we knew he couldn't hurt it worse, John, you know, he said, "Coach, I don't want to miss the NCAA tournament." We gave him a shot out there. You know, it wasn't as effective as he was down the stretch for us. But, you know, knowing we weren't going to hurt him anymore, let's give him the shot to play.
What was it like for you coaching as a head coach in the NCAA tournament?
Dream come true. A lot of, you know, exciting. It's exciting to see my family, how pumped up they were, and the players and their families. When we were sitting in the Siegel Center when they made the announcement on Selection Sunday, you know, it was one of those moments as a coach or even as a player that you dream of it, you see it growing up, you're a basketball junkie your whole life, and wow, it's going to be reality that I get to coach a college basketball team in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, if I could do it, I think anyone could do it. Work really hard and be, you know, put really good people around you. And it's a dream come true, and we want to try to keep doing it.
VCU head coach Mike Rhodes joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, Mike, obviously we have seen in college basketball the past couple of years that returning talent always usurps incoming talent in terms of making deep runs in the NCAA tournament. It's no secret that beyond Marcus Evans, you have a talented core returning. Where does this team potentially rank compared to some of the great ones that we saw at VCU under Shaka Smart, Will Wade, other guys, in terms of its potential starting the season?
Well, you know how it is. Potential is a dangerous word, too. But what I do like so far this summer, John, is our focus. I think we have some – every day we have really good focus at getting our work in and getting done the objectives that we want to get done. And then the guys are always in the gym. And when you have older guys that always keep coming back to the gym, that's a great sign. That's creating the momentum that we want going into the year, and it's teaching the young guys how you got to act, how you got to go about your day. So that part of it's been very good. As you know, there's no guarantees of your success in college basketball, making the NCAA tournament again. But what definitely helps is when you have an older team like we do that have been through the battle, especially the A-10 battles, it gives our guys some experience. It gives our guys some knowledge of how to go about this and get ready for the season. But the league, as you know, it has a lot of older guys returning. We're definitely one of the teams that have, you know, a bunch of guys returning and some seniors. So, you know, that I'm excited about that because I haven't had an older team in quite a while. So hopefully that could be an advantage for us as we go throughout the year.
We know Marcus Evans is a known commodity. Aside from him, among your attorneys, who do you think makes the biggest jump this season?
Well, I honestly think it could be a couple different guys, but I'm really excited to watch DJ Deriante Jenkins. I think he's had a great offseason. He's a senior. He's been through this. I really want to see him step up, especially on the offensive end. I want to see Isaac Mann, another senior, step up and take the next step. I thought he had a huge jump from my first season to my second season. He was a redshirt junior last year, so I'm really excited to see that improvement and him showed on the court. I think Vince Williams is a sophomore from Ohio, had a good freshman year, second half of the year, really came on, helped us in A-10 play. We're going to expect a lot from him. And then, you know, I think Keyshawn Curry, a kid off the bench from Florida, he'll be a sophomore. He gives us that energy. He can score in bunches, but he is long and athletic and really defend and steal the basketball. So, you know, we're going to try to play a lot of guys again. Last year we called it an army. We're going to try to have that same approach. I think we have some depth and maybe a little bit more talented in the depth, and I think that could really help us.
You know, Mike, you just rattled off the names of a bunch of guys who should, you know, return with some seasoning, and that means it's going to be hard for newcomers to, you know, carve out space in rotation. But you do bring in one with some pedigree in Bones Highland. What could his addition mean to some of the other pieces on your perimeter?
More offensive firepower. He's a very talented kid with the ball in his hands. He's a really good passer. He can make threes. I think he's very good on the break and can get into the defense and make plays. So it gives us a, you know, last year I think we struggled from three. I think if that was our, you know, a biggest Achilles heel, in my opinion, where we just didn't make enough threes, especially the open ones. He could really help us with that. And, you know, he's a very talented freshman. He's got to get bigger and stronger like most freshmen do, but he's coming here with a lot of confidence. The seniors have done a great job with our freshmen of, you know, taking them under their wing already this summer and trying to get them ready, because those, I think we have some freshmen that will help us this year.
VCU head coach Mike Rhodes joined the College Hoops Day podcast with John Rothstein. Now, we are facing a different time in college basketball if you're not in a power conference, because we are seeing now more and more power conferences go to 20 games during their conference schedule. With that said, does it put more pressure on teams like VCU and other teams in the Atlantic 10 to perform at a high level in November and December during the non-conference portion of the slate?
Absolutely, without a doubt. But John, it still comes down to you got to schedule and you got to play people. I don't think that formula is ever going to change. You might not have as many opportunities as to get those Power 5 teams in a neutral game or in a home and home, but you still got to find, you got to schedule the best teams you can, and you got to go out and win them. But that formula has been going on for a long, long time. I just think there's a little bit less of those opportunities, but they're out there. You just got to find them. And then, as I say, sometimes you got to be brave and go play a game. People are saying, why would you go play that game? Well, why not? Because if we win it, John, it gives us a great chance to create some attention at VCU and get people who are on that committee voting to see what VCU is doing.
Well, and you're going to have some of those opportunities this year. You're going to play Purdue in the Emerald Coast Classic, a tournament that also features Florida State and Tennessee. You've got LSU. You've obviously got Wichita State. Beyond that, though, when you look at the conference that you're in, it feels like the league, I don't know if it's going to get back to where it was 4 or 5 years ago, but it feels like it has a chance to come back. Who other than some of the known commodities at the top, like a Davidson, do you see as being factors in the Atlantic 10 race?
Well, I think Dayton they've had a lot of transfers sitting out, some very good ones. I think they're going to be a deeper team than they were last year and with some great returning players. So I think Coach Grant's going to have those guys at the top of the league. I think Rhode Island has a lot of talent and they're a deep team and they went through a coaching change. You know, now that's, you know, they're familiar with those changes. So I think they're right there. You know, I've said this before, earlier this summer, I think Richmond's a sleeper team. You know, they'll be healthier and they'll have a transfer ready to go for them. So they'll be a year older and deeper as well. So I think there'll be a lot of teams. As you know, the A-10 going on the road to play in the A-10 is a bear. But I think the A-10 is going to be a lot stronger. It's a lot more experienced, a lot older, and like the A-10 in the past. I think there'll be a lot of noise in November and December by teams in the A-10.
Mike, you told me when you got this job at VCU that you were going to go against the grain in a lot of ways, because what's happened to really the last four head coaches at VCU is they have used the post that you currently hold and made it a stepping stone to another job. Why is VCU still a destination job for Mike Rhodes, despite the fact, with what I talked about, with what's happening with all the power conferences eating up some of your non-conference opportunities?
Well, we're going to go play people. John, you know me, and I want to play anybody we can out there and play the best teams we can, so I don't think we'll have an issue scheduling. Now, it's up to us to go win those games and create a great resume for ourselves. So that part, I'm not as worried about that, because we're gonna go to those tournaments and we're gonna try to schedule great games and the best teams we can to come to our place for guarantee games. That's like we did last year. I just think that formula has been going on at VCU for a long time, and we're gonna try to do that. On top of it, you know, when you're happy, why leave being happy? I love coming to work every day. I'm probably the only coach in America that puts his clothes out the night before, because I'm fired up about getting to work at VCU, and I really enjoy this. My oldest son is going into high school. I want him to be a part of some teams and programs just like we were growing up, that with great school spirit, and that's important to me and my other two kids. That, you know, they have roots here, and that's important to my wife and I. On top of that, though, the basketball part of it is all the things that I would love to do as a coach that is a dream of mine. I think you can accomplish that at a place like VCU. And as you know, John, VCU has made a commitment to their basketball program. It's the front porch of the university. It's something we can show off. We support it in so many different ways. When a recruit comes on campus and they see our arena, and they see the practice facility, a $25 million practice facility dedicated to men's and women's basketball. They see the apartments they live in. They see the academic support, all this stuff that parents get to see, and they can send their son here. It becomes a special place. And then the support of the fans and Ram Nation, I'll put it up against anybody in the country. They love their Rams, and they love the coaching staffs, and they're protective of that. And you don't find that everywhere. You don't find that in a lot of Power 5 schools. And bigger is not better. I think you make it big where you're at, and that's what we're going to continue to do here. So many coaches before me have done it that way, and I think it's a great formula.
Final thing, Mike. There's a quote by Arnold Schwarzenegger: "The wolf on the hill is not as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill." Last year at this time, VCU had something to prove because it was coming off a year where it missed the NCAA tournament. How much have you talked to your team and your players about now dealing with human nature and dealing with being hunted versus doing the hunting?
Well, I'll answer that quote by saying it's what you feed the wolf. Every day we're going to feed our guys hard work and competitiveness, and having an edge, a VCU edge, a VCU swag, whatever you want to call it, that people are still in our way for what we want to do. And so we didn't make it. We didn't make it to the ultimate place where we want to go, and our guys know that. And we're gonna continue to feed that wolf that way and motivate them that way. But we're also going to recruit like the guys we have in our program that have big dreams. And if you have big dreams, you got to go to work after those dreams every day. And I think that plan's been my plan for a long, long time as a coach. And I think it's working, and we're not going to change from that. But there's a lot of teams that are really, really good. I hope we could be one of them at the end of the year. But we got a lot of work to do, and that's what motivates us every day. How can we move forward? How can we get better every day?
Well, Mike, appreciate a couple of minutes. Good luck with July recruiting, and look forward, as always, to staying connected along the way.
You bet, John. Thanks for having me.
We'd like to thank VCU head coach Mike Rhodes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your Atlantic 10 base related questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question right now is going to come from Nike Mado. And it's, John, what do you believe is the ceiling for a URI team with tremendous non-conference opportunities? Well, URI, and it needs to be pointed out, is really going all in during the non-conference portion of the schedule. And we talked about this in our first segment of this podcast, how important it is for the Atlantic 10 to win big games in November and December. URI is playing at Maryland. They're playing at West Virginia. They will host Alabama. They will host Providence. They're in the Jamaica Classic. They're doing all sorts of things to move the needle. They're also going to host Western Kentucky. URI, to me, if they can be in a situation where they win 40% of these key non-conference games, they'll be in a scenario where they should have a chance to advance to the NCAA tournament for the third time in 4 years. Our next question is going to come from UD fan, and it's, John, aside from Obi Toppin, who do you see having a major impact this year for Dayton? You know, I'm anxious to watch Dayton, obviously, early in the season, but from everything I'm hearing, Rodney Chapman, the transfer from Chattanooga, has been an absolute monster for this team. Now, everybody wants to say during practice when you have a transfer that, you know, the transfer is the best player on the floor, but Rodney Chapman is a guy who's going to give Dayton another factor in the backcourt. They also have some tremendous transfers sitting out. You know, it'd be Watson, Jordy Shamanga, all these guys, Chase Johnson as well from Florida. Rodney Chapman, 6'1", about 180 pounds, averaged 13 points, 4.5 assists, and 4 rebounds 2 years ago at Chattanooga. But this is a Dayton team, and we've seen this a lot in the Atlantic 10, that is built on the heels of high-level transfers. So that concludes our social media portion for this Atlantic 10 offseason breakdown. The Atlantic 10 offseason conference power rankings are sponsored by our friends at Geico. Great news is a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And now let's get to those power rankings.
John's Atlantic 10 power rankings.
VCU and Davidson, a clear 1-2 with the Rams being 1. Dayton, URI, St. Bonaventure, 3-4-5. Nobody does more with less than Mark Schmidt. St. Louis, 6. Richmond, 7. Duquesne, 8. George Mason, 9. LaSalle, 10. St. Joe's, 11 under first-year head coach Billy Lang. UMass is 12. GW, 13. And Fordham, 14. Now, how about the A-10 preseason first team?
John's Atlantic 10 preseason first team.
Marcus Evans from VCU, John Axel Goodmanson from Davidson, last year's Atlantic 10 Player of the Year, Kellen Grady from Davidson, Obi Toppin from Dayton, and Cyril Langevine from Rhode Island, averaged 15 and 10 last season. Now, who's the Player of the Year?
John's Atlantic 10 Preseason Player of the Year.
Obi Toppin out of Dayton, a guy who has a chance to blossom, not just in the Atlantic 10, but nationally next season. I think he will be a flat-out star for Anthony Grant and the Flyers. Now, how about a sleeper?
John's Atlantic 10 sleeper.
I'm going with Richmond and Chris Mooney. This is a team that's been off the radar the past couple of years. You know, a lot of people forget that in 2011, Chris Mooney had a team that went to the Sweet 16 at Richmond. They haven't obviously been in a scenario where they've been competing for NCAA tournament berths the last couple of years, but I think things are going to change for Richmond this year in the Atlantic 10. They had a key transfer from Wagner in Blake Francis, averaged over 17 points a game 2 years ago at Wagner. Also have one of the best big men in the conference in Grant Golden. They'll get a healthy Nick Sherrod back and also bring back Jacob Gilliard. I think Richmond is a team that should be vastly improved this season in the Atlantic 10. Now, how about some impact transfers?
John's transfers to watch in the Atlantic 10.
Four from Dateman, Rodney Chapman, Jordy Scheminga, Ibby Watson, and Chase Johnson. Scott Spencer from LaSalle, Ryan Daly at St. Joe's, the import from Delaware. Blake Francis, who I just mentioned from Richmond. Javonte Perkins, a JUCO import for St. Louis. Antoine Walker at Rhode Island. And Bailey Steele from Duquesne. Now, how about some impact freshmen?
John's freshman to watch in the Atlantic 10.
Bones Highland at VCU. Then I've got two at Duquesne, James Ellis and Maceo Austin. Trey Mitchell at UMass, a top 100 kid. And then Hyungjung Lee at Davidson. Now, how about some breakout guys?
John's Atlantic 10 breakout players for next season.
Fred Thatch at St. Louis should take a big role with the departures of Tremaine Isabel and Deion Wiley. Vince Williams at VCU. Tyrese Martin, Rhode Island, who was really good last year under David Cox as a freshman. Osunyi at St. Bonaventure, and then Ed Croswell at LaSalle. We'd like to thank VCU head coach Mike Rhodes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.